Front Page Dramas present The Mystery of the Stone Bench, the second in the new series of real-life detective stories by H. Ashton Wolfe, former member of the Sûreté, the French secret police, and for many years an assistant to Dr. Bertillon, the founder of the famous system of criminal identification. Everyone appreciates a real good detective story, so don't miss the return of Ashton Wolfe's series now appearing in the American Weekly. Join the thousands of American families who each week order the Hearst Sunday newspaper with the magazine that, because of its variety of good reading, has become the nation's reading habit. That magazine is the American Weekly, an important part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And now, H. Ashton Wolfe's thrilling detective story, The Mystery of the Stone Bench.
In the leisurely days before the First World War, I had many friends at detective headquarters in Berlin's ancient Hauptstrasse. Foremost among them was Commissar Paul Lange, a strange little man who had risen from the ranks by sheer perseverance and ability. I admired him greatly and was never so happy as when permitted to watch him at work on some complex case. The weird death of Herr Gustav Helder, the retired millionaire, was without question his most brilliant and spectacular case. Herr Helder was a well-known figure in the life of the German capital. He had been passionately in love with a heartless flirt in his young days. When she married his best friend, Helder renounced women and went to the East to amass a fortune. Yet, years later, when she and her husband were killed in a train wreck, Helder had unhesitatingly adopted her orphan son, Hans, given him an excellent education, and finally helped him secure a commission in the Navy, where, at 24, he had already risen to the rank of lieutenant. Old Helder had been found murdered.
Yeah, there he sits on his stone bench in his garden, a great gaping wound in his back, high up between the shoulder blade and the spinal column. Notice on the right shoulder there is a tattooed triangle with faint markings like Chinese ideographs. Helder made his fortune in the East, of course, and I'll bet that is the sign of a Chinese secret society. Well, what do you make of it, Wolf?
Stabbed from behind by a crude dagger with some sort of circular guard. Its penetration is apparently downward at an angle towards the heart. But no. Wait, the murderer approached from the front. Yes, that's it. See, his hair is mussed. The murderer grabbed him by the hair, pulled his head forward, and thrust the long dagger down over the shoulder.
Extremely logical, but look over here.
Yes?
See, this, Herr Helder's beret. Now, how could it have gotten the way over here? Weider, mark the exact spot, and see that the beret goes to the laboratory for analysis.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's get back to your second theory about the victim being attacked from the front. It is logical, extremely so. It fits the possibilities, but not the probabilities. The murderer might have stood on the path here and struck with a knife fastened at right angles to the end of a long stick. They method distinctly in the Oriental tradition.
Lang, suppose you review the facts for me as you know them.
It was apparently Herr Helder's habit to stroll every evening in his garden and, growing weary, to sit and drowse for a time here on the favorite corner of this stone bench. This evening, as usual, he followed his nightly custom. Carl, his chauffeur, valet, was working in the garage. About 10 o'clock, he heard the watchdog, the savage animal that is always turned loose at dusk, bark sharply. Carl rushed out to find his master as he is.
You think perhaps a stranger came over this garden wall directly behind him, there?
No. No flower beds border this wall which surrounds the garden, and nowhere in their soft earth is there a footprint or the mark of a ladder. The only other way to approach this spot is through the house, and here again we run into an impasse. The other servants, there are four of them, a prehistoric butler, a cook, housekeeper, and two maids, were all together in their sitting room, which opens on the main hall. They heard the dog bark, but swear no one passed through the main hall.
Hans, Herr Helder's adopted son, is away on his ship in the Navy, I presume.
You are beginning the process of elimination, eh? As a matter of fact, Lieutenant Helder is at home on leave, but he dined and spent the evening with Judge von Furtzheim and his daughter Pauline. Their place adjoins it. The other side of that brick wall is their garden. Young Helder, by the way, is engaged to Pauline von Furtzheim.
Well, if young Helder was visiting over there, Carl, the chauffeur valet, remains the only remaining possibility.
Yeah, but let us see the fellow ourselves. Let us go into the house. Weiler, have Carl brought into the library, please.
Have you found a speaking card which struck the old man in the back? He'd never done it to his face, I can tell you that.
If I could get my hands around that dirty swine...
No, I have not found him, but the sheriff. You were very fond of Herr Helder, I take it. You have been with him a long time.
Close to 30 years. He picked me off the beach at Singapore. He was a hard-hearted old man, but he was always fair and generous.
But you didn't get along so well with Herr Lieutenant Helder. I understand there has been quarreling between you lately.
The Herr Lieutenant wouldn't allow himself to quarrel with the chauffeur. Just say that somehow you had never seemed to hit it off.
I see. Now, Carl, if you don't mind, I'd like you to tell me again exactly what happened.
I don't mind, sir, if it helps you get the swine. It was about 10 o'clock and I was draining the oil off the car, like the Herr Lieutenant told me to do before he left.
Yeah?
Just as I finished, I heard Tommy the dog. He barked short and sharp like he didn't exactly know what he was barking at.
Yeah?
I went out and found the old man. I ran into the house. I told the servants to stay where they were and then went to Judge Van Fortheim to get the Herr Lieutenant. There he was, walking in the garden with Fräulein Pauline. Well, across the wall, not a stone's throw away, the old man, who had been more than a father to him, was being murdered. Oh, God.
I couldn't wait any longer, Herr Commissar. What have you found? Do you know what manner of beast killed my father?
Yeah, we are making progress. You may leave now, Carl. And, Herr Lieutenant, please be seated.
Yes,
I want to refresh your memory with a few questions. Let's see. You spent the evening with your fiancée.
Yes.
And her father, Judge Van Fortheim.
I did. We dined together, and afterwards, Pauline and I walked in the garden until the chauffeur came with me. That is, with the news.
She did not leave you at any time?
No, sir, no. Oh, wait, though. Yes, she did.
Yeah?
The air grew damp, and I suggested that I get her a shawl, and she told me no, to smoke a cigarette while she fetched it herself. I lit the cigarette and had barely finished it before she returned.
I see. What did you and your father quarrel about?
Quarrel?
Yeah.
I don't think you could call it quarreling, sir. My father had grown irritable of late, and when I asked him to increase my allowance, reminding him it nearly covered my mess bills, he grew angry. He had discovered I'd been gambling and lectured me. That was all.
But tell me, Herr Lieutenant, who inherits Herr Helder's fortune?
I do. As a matter of fact, barring various sums, securities, and certain legacies to the servants. Carl, the chauffeur who left the room when I came in, inherits 20,000 marks.
Son of it, sir. That is a very large sum of money to inherit.
No!
It's you, Carl. You were listening.
I was coming to tell you that...
You were eavesdropping, you sneaking, fine swine. I'll use this whole...
No. Gentlemen, please, enough of this. Both of you, leave the room at once. You go to the garage, Carl. You go to your room, Herr Lieutenant. Each of them seemed unusually interested in what the other was saying. I am positive Herr Lieutenant was listening outside that door while we were questioning the chauffeur, Carl, and he was eavesdropping while we questioned the Lieutenant.
Sir Commissar, I have got the information you requested.
Yeah?
I talked to Herr Helder's lawyer first. Herr Helder had made an appointment with his lawyer to discuss the question of changing his will.
Good. And what else?
I talked to the captain of Herr Lieutenant's ship. He told me young Helder had been reprimanded for gambling at Heineke's. One of the worst dives in the city.
Yeah, Heineken.
Furthermore, it seems he's badly mixed up with a dancer there named Isabel.
That's funny. The servants told me that an Isabel from Heineken's had phoned Carl the chauffeur several times. They were properly shocked about it. But enough of this. Let's go out and examine that garage. See, I found what I wanted here in this pan of used oil. It's the weapon used to kill old Helder. This fine steel spike, evidently a file ground smooth and pointed. Firmly wired at right angles to this long stick. It must have been made right here in the workshop adjoining the garage.
Then you were right about your theory in the garden. A man, and it must have been Carl, stood on the path and reached out with that stick with the steel spike attached to strike the old man in the back. He did it for 20,000 marks allotted to him in old Helder's will.
No, Herr Wolf, that is not the solution.
No?
But tonight in the garden at the old stone bench, I will reenact the crime for you and name the murderer. Tonight at 10, you shall hear the truth. Fräulein Pauline Van Fortheim, Judge Van Fortheim, and my distinguished colleague, it is my purpose to demonstrate how Herr Helder was murdered, and then the assassin's identity will become evident to all. We are here at the scene of the crime in this quiet old garden. I have, as you see, placed a dummy with a berry upon its head in Herr Helder's favorite corner of the fatal stone bench. Care has been taken, one of you will understand what I mean, to make sure that it is the only suitable corner. We are now going to reenact the murder. Having placed two suspects, Lieutenant Helder and Carl the chauffeur, under arrest, my assistants will take their places in enacting this little drama. First, Fräulein Pauline, will you accompany my assistant, Herr Fritz Weiler, and repeat your movements of the night of the murder?
Yeah, Herr Commissar, at once.
Call us when you leave, Herr Weiler, to go into the house to get your shawl, just as you left Herr Lieutenant that night.
Yeah, Herr Kremitzer. I am ready. Shall we go now, Herr Weiler?
Now, gentlemen, I want you to concentrate your attention on that young ash tree directly behind the corner of the stone bench where Herr Helder was seated. A very innocent-looking little tree, is it not?
At this point, Herr Kremitzer, I left Hans to go into the house to get my sword.
Good.
I am going now.
Good, Fräulein. Now, gentlemen, watch the tree closely. See, it's beginning to bend backwards away from the bench. Watch closely. It is now bent back until it touches the wall.
Oh, that's so bad. Why, that's
terrible. Judge von Forzheim, throw on your flashlight. Good. See the long stick with the sharp steel spike fastened to it. It has been painted brown and lashed firmly along the trunk of the tree, the steel spike jutting out in the darkness like a bit of a branch. Now, on the other side of the trunk is a screw ring. From it, a thin but strong silken rope passed through the drain pipe here that leads into your garden on the other side of the wall, Judge von Forzheim.
I begin to see now, Herr Lang. Just below the ring on the trunk is this small can, probably containing a simple mixture of sugar and chloride of potash, with a phial of sulfuric acid fitted upright into the lid of the can.
Exactly. As soon as Fräulein Pauline went into the house for her shawl, her Lieutenant Holder pulled the rope, bending the tree backwards.
I see.
At that angle, the acid in the phial flowed into the can of sugar and chlorate of potash, causing a flame which burned the rope and released the bent tree, which sprung forward, carrying the spike into old Helder's back. Whereupon young Helder hauled the rope and had it wound about his waist by the time your daughter returned.
While Carl was sent into the house to call the police, the lieutenant slipped a knot on the lashings that bound the stick and spike to the tree, took off the little can and phial, hurried into the garage, and tossed the stick into the drip pan of oil.
And buried the can, phial, and lashings in the trash barrel, where, if they were found, would throw the suspicion on Carl the chauffeur. Young Helder had told Isabel, the dancer, when calling from Heineke's, to ask for Carl, and instructed the servants to say that Carl was out. In that way, he covered his affair with the notorious Isabel.
The motive, I suppose, was the Herr Leutnant's trouble with the dancer Isabel, threatening him with blackmail and scandal. Then Herr Helder found out about it and told his son he was going to disown him. Faced with disgrace and poverty, the Herr Leutnant desperately attempted the perfect crime, but failed. Hans Helder was executed the following year in spite of the tireless efforts of one of Berlin's finest criminal lawyers. The funds for his defense, ironically enough, were provided by Karl. For a few hours before his death, Gustav Helder placed in the mail a co-signer to his will, leaving only a small income to his adopted son and the bulk of his estate to his faithful Karl.
You have just heard The Mystery of the Stone Bench by the celebrated author H. Ashton Wolfe, former member of the Sûreté, the French secret police. The complete story of The Mystery of the Stone Bench will be featured in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Page Dramas presents The Voodoo Murder Mystery, dramatized from The Leaves of Lethargy, the third story in the new series, The Return of Ashton Wolfe, now being featured in The American Weekly. This new series of baffling mystery stories are written by H. Ashton Wolfe, former member of the Sûreté, the French secret police, and for many years, assistant to Dr. Bertillon, the founder of the famous system of criminal identification. If you are one of the Americans who enjoy reading real good detective mysteries, you can't afford to miss